Coming up on podcast 1155, trying something new today. Nothing but your answers to question of the week. Stick around. On the podcast today, we'll run through more than we normally get to on question of the week, and we'll say thanks to our Patreon supporters as well. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Sunday 25th of July, second show for today. It's Martin Lee here. Normally we stitch on question of the week to the end of Sunday's show, but there was so much news for Sunday. I can't believe how busy a weekend it was that the podcast would have been so long. And look, if I see a podcast that's 30 minutes, and you know, I'm always aiming for 15, and it always runs along, it kind of, my heart sinks, and I think, oh, I haven't got time to listen to it now, or my commute isn't that long or whatever. So anyway, decided to split it up. So those that want to get involved with question of the week can listen to this, have the debate, get your brain cells ticking and what you would have said if you'd have answered this one. And if not, then no worries as well. You can just stick to the news show. So we were asking you this week on question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. With chargers still being rolled out, but largely being as rare as hen's teeth, DC fast chargers, really quick ones, sort of 50 kilowatts plus, should they automatically stop charging when you get to 80%? And should the car release the cable if they're using a CCS combo plug? Of course, I know CHAdeMO's different, etc. Because cars slow down mostly a lot when they get to 80% full or around then. And, you know, infrastructure is a scarce resource at the moment, so should it be enforced that if someone is just trickle charging in the last few percent of their car, being inconsiderate, using that scarce resource, you can come along, unplug them, and you can charge once they get past 80%. We'll start with someone who knows a hell of a lot about charging, because that's his business, and sponsor of this podcast, Jim Burness, from nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com. Now, he spends all the time thinking about issues like this. He says that rather than having a DC fast charger stop at 80% and unlock the cable, I think it makes more sense to use price signals to encourage proper etiquette. Jim says, for example, perhaps at 80%, the pricing should go up by 25 cents per kilowatt hour, and at 90%, another 25 cents per kilowatt hour. If you desperately need the charge, you can still get it, but if you don't, you're encouraged to get out of the way. And Jim is tapping into something there that I, you know, long talk about on this podcast as well. There are few things that will drive a behavior as pounds in your pocket, dollars in your wallet, you know, fill in the blank for where you're listening around the world. Because ultimately, we all act in our own self-interest. And I know that we all try and be good people and, you know, help the community and do things for other people and the planet and things like that. But ultimately, if it comes down to looking after your family and saving money on your motoring, and think, oh, I can drive an electric car, I'll save some money. It's one of the drivers. More money in your pocket. And I'll defend that view, actually. You know, lots of people say, oh, no, I'm very selfless. And yeah, but ultimately, if you can look after your family better by, you know, switching electric providers or saving some money here and there, you know, a cheaper grocery store or something, you will. Because you want the best thing to put more money in your pocket. And so I think Jim is absolutely tapping into what is a very powerful driver there with the human race. Next, Pete Glass says, many EVs can blast through charging at 80%. My i3, which is good to 86%, the taper begins at 92%, and even then, only below 30 kilowatts. The old Audi e-tron would keep 50 kilowatts up to 100%. So 80% being used as a rule of thumb is not an ideology. A better idea for 50 kilowatt rapid chargers to cut off and release the cable when the power delivered drops below a certain level. But the question is what? Perhaps somewhere around 20 kilowatts, although mine has cold gated at 18 kilowatts. By the way, if you're a new podcast listener and you're learning about EVs because you're curious, you want to buy one, then, yeah, the internal resistance of lithium-ion batteries can mean that when they're very cold, they don't like to be below freezing. And so it kind of gets known as, you know, rapid gate. If you charge too many times, they get too hot, and cold gating. And, you know, when the battery's too cold to take a lot of current. And he says, or Pete says, once I plugged in with a cold-soaked battery, again, it just means left overnight or completely down at ambient temperatures. Again, batteries hold heat for a long time. So perhaps in the 11 to 15 kilowatt zone. High power chargers can have different, tougher rules, but still need to let e-Golfs and other old cars charge. Furthermore, they should fail to initiate charge at 7 kilowatts or less. This means that majority of plug-in hybrids can't use high-powered chargers. Of course, there's the AC plug as well, which they'll be using. This could possibly be pushed to 11 kilowatts, although the AC plug is a handy fail-safe backup for when CCS is broken. Adrian Bond, he runs Colchester EVs, and he said this. This takes me back to my laundrette days. If the washing and drying was finished and the owner wasn't there, you moved the washing out of the machine. It was the rule. So, if we accept that for rapid chargers, unless there is an indication otherwise, like a note that we can accept 80% is pretty much finished for high power chargers, yes, I'd be happy for somebody to remove the charger from my car, he says, my Leaf, which is set to 80% anyway. Or maybe charging should be set to 30 minutes by the charger, after which it stops and it becomes available for others. If you really need a bit more, just restart it. And as you found, most drivers only stop for 20 to 40 minutes on the motorway. Yeah, and I agree. I think what you're talking about here is the maybe the 1%, the 2% of drivers who, and you know, I would say this, you know, respectfully, Adrian, and everyone listening, you know, plug-in hybrid drivers, they have a right to use whatever charger will charge their car. And if somebody wants to sit on a high-powered charger and there's one of them for miles and they're at 99% and pulling a, you know, 2 kilowatts, it's not polite, but it's their right. So they're doing nothing wrong. They're breaking no rules. But, yeah, last week on Question of the Week, we were talking about how long you stop for. And, you know, you're right. You know, 20 to 40 minutes. That's all you need. Okay, moving on. Brendan Hutchins says, I haven't thought this through fully, but what if the bulk of the charging time to 80% was at a regular rate of cost? And above that, it becomes slower and costs 50% more. Or maybe once it's fully charged, there's a fee rate for the parking spot. That would incentivize watching your time and moving on, Brendan says. Yeah, exactly what Jim started us off with. Absolutely perfect. I love that idea. Rajiv Narayan says, I agree that in the situation where charging is scarce and people are waiting to charge, DC fast chargers should be discontinued once DC fast charging should be discontinued once the charge rate drops for different cars with different batteries, etc., etc. This may point may not occur exactly at 80%. Some cars, Hyundai Ioniq, for instance, still apparently able to charge at 100 kilowatts at 80% state of charge. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The new 5 indeed can. So I would suggest not a cutoff at that point, but once the state of charge is at least 80% and the charge curve drops below a level and it's charging at less than, say, he says 50% of its peak possible rate, then it shuts off, cable unlock is there, and he says, I would not want to penalise someone who really needs to charge to get to their next destination, though. Perhaps the default would be to shut off charging once the rate drops significantly, but you can override it. Granton Smith says, CCS charging above 80%, I'm lucky. I've never yet had to wait for a DC fast charger because there are so few EVs. That won't be the case forever. I think, why not have a price signal for people to stop charging in that last 20%. Here in Oz, says Granton, where distances are greater, sometimes I've needed the extra bit in the battery to be sure that I'll get to where I'm going. But I do this so occasionally that I wouldn't actually mind if the last part of the charge got more expensive. That was people that are just opportunity charging and will most likely not want to stick around, he says. Sasha says, automatically stopping the charge at a given state of charge sounds like a good idea in North America, where charging sites often have only one or two CCS chargers. Tesla does something similar. The charge state limit is set to 80% when using their superchargers. It helps nudge people in moving on, like a bit of a an unconscious signal, like automatically setting it to 80%, and then you physically have to go, no, I want more, I want more. And then you might think, actually, no, I'll leave it at 80% because I can move after that. Having a minimum charge rate helps too, he says. Hi to Pete Bremmy. I think it depends on the location. If a DC fast charger is located in a high-volume urban area and there are other chargers within the 80% drive in all directions, I think the limit is a good idea. However, in rural areas, chargers are scarce, and it may be a bad idea, even if high volume, because for those who cannot charge at home, Tesla already does this in the USA. I've stopped at two superchargers already that limited me to 80%, with a screen message declaring the station was a high volume station, says Pete. Now, I didn't realise this. I thought you could override it. But is that the case? Because I don't own a Tesla. Is that the case then that on some stations they physically won't go past 80%? I didn't realise that. He says one of them was at the edge of a remote area of northern New Hampshire that borders Canada. It's understandable. It's high volume, being the last supercharger in line before the first Canada supercharger, 192 miles away. Vacationers or multi-family unit dwellers might have a problem and be forced to return to the charger often too, he says. Coming up, we'll hear from Marcus, Gerald, Tom, Robert, Ron, Marty, Stephen, many more as well on this extended Question of the Week show. Stick around. Okay, now let's talk about some more of your responses to Question of the Week. And Mario Caballero says cables should not release, but pricing should be higher after 80%. If you have a low range EV, he has the e-Golf, by the way. I need every ounce of electricity that I can get. Sometimes I need to charge up to 85% to make it to my destination. Ron Barber says, here is an example of why chargers or governments cannot make a blanket statement about 80%. He says 73 to 89% in 8 minutes, pulling 13 kilowatt hours in his Taycan. 13 kilowatts, I should say. That is also 13 kilowatt hours. A 97 kilowatt average speed. Started at 105. Slowed to 85 to 88 in his Taycan. Even when doing long trips, he tries to stop charging at 95% when it goes down to 25 kilowatts. He says, I know my Chevy Bolt would be dog slow past 80%. So I understand the idea. My other email had more thinking. Short cables on DC fast chargers is the main reason it makes no sense. Because, yeah, you can unplug somebody else, but if you can't get close, says Ron, then what's the point? Like, you can unplug someone, but okay, well, my car's got a charge flap in a location that means I can't even plug in. Well, then what's the point? Marcus Youngworth says, I would say no. It might be necessary to charge more than 80% to get to your destination. I'm aware of that above 80% high-powered charging is more like hunting snails or riding a turtle. That doesn't translate, by the way, Marcus, but I hope somebody listening knows what you mean. I can't work out riding a turtle. Anyway, I've never heard that one before. But anyway, I would prefer that the companies running these charging stations offer advice for EV owners with do's and don'ts, a poster, a printed flyer, a brochure, a charge card, a parking disc, made in a gentle way that doesn't patronise and explains how to use DC fast charging stations. Marcus, that's a brilliant idea. And education and outreach is something that is the top of my mind in making this podcast, and one of the reasons that I do it every day, because I know, I can see the downloads are going up. I know there are more people listening all the time, and some of those must be new to EVs. And so I always try and deliver shows on this pod or stories on this podcast to satisfy, you know, the hardcore who listen every day and those who've just started listening. Like, what's a kilowatt? What's a, you know, what's a Tesla plug in America versus what they use in Europe, for instance? I try and do that because education and knowledge gathering, it's for so many people, it's all new. And you're so right, actually. You're so right. A lot of people, I got an email to reply to from one of my listeners who couldn't get the EV he wanted through his work scheme, so he had to buy a plug-in hybrid. I need to reply to him tonight after I've finished recording. And he's like, just what is the etiquette around plugging in my plug-in hybrid vehicle? And, you know, I will say to him in my reply, well, there's etiquette and then what you're entitled to. And if you've got a plug-in hybrid, some of them use AC plugs, some of them use CCS combo plugs these days. And, you know, if it's a plug, it's a plug. You can plug it in, my friend. I'll tell him the etiquette of charging speeds and those with pure electric cars and looking out for short-range EVs as well. But ultimately, you know, if you want to charge till your battery's full, you're doing nothing wrong. Okay, moving on. Gerald Burns says, I live in West Virginia, USA. We have very few chargers, only one or two fast chargers at car dealers, which is not really for the general public. In other words, we need to charge to get to 100% when on a trip. Tom James says, I think the car should release the cable once the charge is complete, so someone else can plug in. However, I don't see the need for 80%. I know some cars' charge curve rapidly slows down. That's due to battery management software of individual models. We have two 28 kilowatt hour Ionics, which can rapid charge up to 69 kilowatts and maintain a fast flat rate all the way to 94%, he says, at which point the car stops the charge. So, We're often done long before other EVs that have slowed down to less than 50 kilowatts, even though we fill up more than 80%. The answer, he says, I think the simple answer, says Tom, is we need many more high-powered chargers. I think there's anybody listening to this show that will argue with that point, my friend. Robert McCrowan. I think it's McCrowan, I would say. Robert, I'm sorry if I have it wrong. On my 28 kilowatt hour Ioniq, if the auto button is activated, the cable can be removed once the charging has completed with no need to unlock the car. I didn't realise that. I love learning stuff from the listeners of this podcast. That's awesome. If I was selfish enough to leave my car unattended for a long period on a rapid charger, I would expect it to be unplugged, he says. Having said that, I only take what I need for the journey. My average time is 15 minutes. Marty Walsh says auto release at 80% should be an option where you select when you activate that plug socket, maybe even reminding the user of reduced efficiency for an affirmation. Stephen Troyer says the charger definitely should automatically turn off at 80% and disconnect. I'd add to that, it should also ping the owner's phone and send them notifications until they move their car. Hey, your car isn't charging anymore. People are waiting. I like that. I like that, Stephen. Mark Orico says, do I think DC fast chargers should stop at 80%? No, especially here in the US where we have limited infrastructure. I know that could be used as an argument to stop at 80%, but sometimes we need the extra charge to get to the next charger. Perhaps something like that could eventually be implemented when there's more chargers. I think an alternative would be to increase the cost when the car's charge rate drops below a certain percentage of its maximum capability. Some cars may still take a faster rate up to 90 rather than 80%. Perhaps being kicked off after 95 would be fair, he says. All right, Mark, that's awesome. And thank you to everyone. It's awesome. What did you think of doing a dedicated show for Question of the Week? It's your bit of this podcast. I liked it because normally I'm always stressing about leaving some out. People have taken the time to email me and I don't get the chance to include everyone's. I didn't even this week, I didn't everyone's, but I think I covered all the range of opinions with those that I did read out. What do you think of the idea of doing Question of the Week as a kind of as a bonus show? Therefore, yeah, listen or don't listen, up to you. I'll put it in the main feed if you want next Sunday. And we got to explore this topic in much more detail, and hopefully, you know, you and I got a bit of a greater understanding with various opinions. But let me know. I can always tag it on to the end of Sunday's news show. But it felt nice kind of being standalone. I felt like I was under less pressure to read quickly and I could explore opinions. So let me know. I always appreciate your feedback and it's how I learn how, you know, you want the show to grow. All right, let's set a brand new question of the week. Sponsored by eMobilityNorway.com. Ah, the big news of the week. Elon Musk opening up the superchargers with 2,877 superchargers globally and 25,000 stalls to pick from. What do you think about Tesla's plan to open up the network to every Tom, Dick and Harry? Email me your thoughts. This is going to be a contentious one, but I want to hear your thoughts. I'll read them out on Sunday. Hello at evnewsdaily.com is my email address. And as always, thanks to our partners, premium partners and executive producers who get a weekly shout at the end of the show. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Jim and the team there. Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at RSEV.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and eMobilityNorway.com. Hi to our partners, David and Lisa Allen. Thank you, guys. Bob Boothby runs Millbrook Cottages. They are five-star gold self-catering cottages in stunning North Devon. Treat yourself. Have a look. Darren McCleskey runs De Novo Real Estate. Thank you, Darren. Jukka Kukkonen from Shift2Electric.com with a number two. Rajiv Narayan, Ian Sear, Juliet Sodergren, and Michael Lumley. Thank you very much, guys. And all of our exec producers, Adrian Bond, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Andrew Green, Andy Nancaro, and Lillian Cass, Sasir Khalid, Biard Fuchstag, Blunderbuss Jones, and Brian Thompson, Bruce Bohannon, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, Christopher Barth, Colin Hennessy, and the gang at Cam's EV, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, David Finch, David Partington, David Prescott, and DCEV. Hi to Don McAllister, who runs ScreencastsOnline.com, Ed Cortine, Eric Hansen, Eru Kyunyi Nyombi. Hello to Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, Hedley Wright, Heinrich Leistner, Ian Griffiths, Ian Watty Watkins, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Jim Morris, John Schroeder, John Vandervoort, John who is Beardy McBeardface at Ken TV's, and John Manchek, Juan Gonzalez, Kevin Madison, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Carley, Marcel Ward, Marty Young, Mike Winker. Winker? Winsor. Sorry, Mike. Mike Winsor. Not Mike Winker. Careful how you say that as well. Nathan Gore Brown, Nathaniel Friedman, Neil E. Roberts from Sussex EVs, Ohad Aston, Paul Stevenson, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts at Oxen EVs, Phil Mouchet, Philip Troutman, Raymond Rowledge, Rene Kemick, Rene Schneider, Rob from the RS Thinks channel on YouTube, Robert Grace, Rupert Mitchell, Seiki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas JTS, the Todd Oaks, and the Plug Seekers EV YouTube channel. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.